Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I started giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
From soul crushing to soul exalting. This is, I hope so anyway, this is Wretched Radio. Was simply going to share with you something that should make you go, oh, yes. What is that something? It is a video that I found on the YouTube machine. There I am trying to prepare the worship for Sunday morning. The theme, because we've got those at Alpharetta Bible Church, the theme, Jesus is coming back to separate the sheep from the goats. What will that day look like for you? It'll either be the most transcendent, magnificent, breathtaking, in the best kind of way day if you're in Christ. If you're not, you're going to come apart. It's going to be dreadful for you. And I'm looking through the YouTube to find worship music that talks about the return of the King, setting up His throne as He comes in glory with all of the angels. Can you imagine the sound that's going to make when Jesus returns from heaven? The blast of the trumpet, the shout of the angels. Jesus descends on a stallion with a sword coming out of His mouth, with blood on His thighs, with all of the angels. What kind of sound is that going to make? If you've ever heard a nature sound that's, well, like a big thunder clap, it's like, whoa. Imagine the sound when Jesus returns. And was looking for music that was in that theme. And I stumbled into what you're going to hear in a moment. And I thought, that's just so worth sharing. If you've never heard a contemporary worship song that's biblical, reverent, yep, it's contemporary in its vibe, but it's Christ exalting, which is what I think church on Sunday morning should be about. But I thought, just to help us appreciate what good contemporary worship music is, because there is some good contemporary worship music, there's also soul-crushing contemporary worship. And I'd like to share that with you first. And then we'll have our souls exalted. This is from a number of years ago. It stuck in my head because it was so preposterous. You are going to be shocked. You might actually be righteously indignant. This is one of those churches, you know, it's moody. It's got the lights dimmed. Bunch of young people. And this guy is going to lead the congregation in singing, "You Spin Me Right Round Jesus, Right Round Like a Record Player." Nope, not kidding. Now, had a choice. Could have queued up the video right to where he starts singing, but I thought, no, let's listen to his intro, the type of teaching that is coming out of these NAR-like silly centers.
Put a place of honor in our hearts for you, Lord. We know that we can't receive anything from anyone until we have honor in our hearts for them.
I don't know what that means. In a place of honor for your Lord, we're going to sing, is it Depeche Mode? "You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round Like a Record Player." In a place of honor and glory. And we can't receive anything from somebody until we honor them? What verse is that?
So just like Moses.
Oh boy.
As a sign of honor, as a sign that you are removing the things that separate you from the holy place. So I invite you to kick off your shoes right now.
Oh no. Why do feet always have to be involved in these things? I'm not kidding. Do you remember this tragic period of youth group gross out games still going on? I looked it up. I think we did a number of TV shows on it. It's just there's hundreds of gross out games, and a lot of them have to do with feet. I mean, remember the pastor down in Florida who put peanut butter between his toes and had the kids lick it out? Well, that was only after the parents complained because he'd put the peanut butter in his armpits to have the kids lick it out.
Then he decides it'll be better if I put it between my toes. The other gross out games, it involves boys and girls playing with their feet and putting food into the mouth of the other person with their feet. What's with all the feet business?
Come on, everybody all over this place. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are.
I hope there's nobody there that's old.
Kick your shoes off in this place.
By the way, dude has a really cool faux hawk.
And while you're down there, grab a couple socks.
That is in honor of you, Lord, like Moses.
Come on.
Tell me what we're going to do.
Everybody going to grab something to spin.
Okay. I see what we're doing here. You spin me right. And we're going to spin our socks.
You guys ready?
Yeah, man.
Come on, put those things up. Spin your shoes, sock keys, I don't care.
Okay, question. What are we doing here? We're taking off our socks so that we can spin them while we sing "You Spin Me Right Round Jesus." Honestly.
Everybody, gotta jump. You're not spinning anything. Come on, grab something.
I know they're there of their own volition, presumably. These kids.
Everybody!
Jumping up and down.
Yeah!
This is God exalting. Get to it, dude!
Let's sing this. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round, like a record, Jesus, right round, round, round. You spin me right round.
Jimmy, would you do me a favor if you can endure it?
Please don't.
Yeah, go look up the lyrics to this song. I can't believe they're wholesome. This has got to be some sort of double entendre, some sort of shadowy language that probably isn't something that we should be thinking about when we're thinking about our Savior.
Jesus right round, like a wreck of Jesus, right round, sing it up. Right round.
Give me the verse.
No. Right,
all right, here's what I'm gonna. By the way, this is 9 minutes and 59 seconds long. I wish I were joking. Now we're just gonna get him in a frenzy. Get the music going. Can't take it anymore. Now that our souls have been crushed, let's see if they can be exalted. And this will serve to do two things. One, to lift you up. And two, to let you know I'm not entirely curmudgeonly when it comes to contemporary worship music.
Oh, lift your eyes to heaven, see the Holy One eternal. Behold the Lord of Majesty, exalted in his temple. As symphonies of angels praise, now strain to sound his glory. Come worship, fall before his grace, the King in all his beauty.
How worthy,
how worthy, how worthy.
Who spins you right round, babe?
I see the King who wears the crown, one made of shame and splinter. The sacrifice for ruined man, the substitute for sinners. As earth is stained with royal blood and quakes with love and fury, he breathes his last and bows his head, the King in all his beauty.
Thank you.
the Savior.
Now see the Savior lifted up, the Lamb who reigns in splendor, the hope of every tribe and tongue. His kingdom is forever. Bring praise and honor to his courts. Bring wisdom, power, blessing. For endless ages will adore the King in all his beauty.
How worthy,
how worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty.
Slight difference.
How worthy.
Better. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You spin me right round, Jesus, right round. That's a wretched Jesus, right round, round, round.
This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you use the AI machine, I presume, to go find the lyrics for this worship song. You spin me right round, Jesus, based on... Was I right about the Depeche Mode?
Well, no, it's sung by Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive.
Uh-huh. 1985.
That seems even better somehow. Depeche Mode. There was the song about your own personal Jesus. That was, I'm sure, used in worship services someplace. All right, the lyrics to You Spin Me Right Round, Baby,
right,
I suspect, aren't all that pristine.
No, they're not. Let's see. You spin me...
No, don't.
You don't want me to read it?
Well,
you want me to sing it?
No.
No, you don't.
If it's not worth repeating, let's not repeat it.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Okay, well, there, that says it all. And yet, this church turns it into a worship song. And even so, this song is from 1985.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, so all right, this song is actually the video on the YouTube machine is 14 years old. All right, that brings us back to what, 2010 ish, 1985. That's still
20 years old.
Just absolutely ridiculous. It's 25 years old, and they're being hip and relevant by having kids take off their shoes and socks and spin their socks around while they sing You Spin Me Right Round, Jesus. Now, everybody's trying to do it and pretend that they're into this. It's more like an aerobics class at a gym someplace. I'm just going to fast forward. What?
You spin me right round, Jesus.
And remember, this was to exalt the Lord like Moses. All right, fast forward.
You spin me right round.
All right, I'll fast forward another minute. That got a little rough. Another minute.
Start a love train.
Oh, wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait.
Break it down.
Hold on.
People all over the world. Join hands, start a love train.
Jimmy, would you be so kind to check out the year that this hip and relevant song was written? People all over the world, was it the OJs, the Spinners, something like that? Is it a song from the 60s? Being hip and relevant with the kids?
People all over the world, join hands.
It was the OJs.
OJs?
Uh-huh.
What year?
72.
72. I don't know why that glitches.
A love train, people all over the world.
All right, I'll fast forward another minute. And another minute.
Mess us up.
Well, you know what Bible verse that is. Another minute ahead. Another minute ahead. There it is. Give him glory. There you have it. I got Vilta Fish. This is Wretched Radio. Taking a dated, dirty song, turning it into a worship. This is like paganism. The jumping all around, getting ecstatic. It's like you expect to see this in some remote village where people are pagans dancing and jumping around with their socks off, of course, spinning them right round. Baby, this isn't Christianity. This is something else. And speaking of something that is pagan and that, I'm sorry, isn't Christianity, no doubt you're inbox, your feed, I think that's what they call it, your feed is filled with stories about the death of the Pope, the conclave, and the election of the new Pope, which I think are they in there trying to do it right now? The conclave thing has a history. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but this system, I'm sorry. This is not Christian. Let's start with this headline from youcatholic.com. As Catholics, we venerate the relics of saints and martyrs to show proper reverence for the pious and holy lives that they led in service of God. The Catholic tradition of venerating the relics of saints and martyrs is one of the oldest within the church, stretching back to at least the year 156, with the veneration of the relics of Saint Polycarp. However, most people aren't aware of the little-known centuries-old tradition of preserving the hearts of deceased popes, and that one church in Rome has 22 papal hearts that are sitting there for people to look at, read about, maybe get their sins forgiven, because indulgences are alive and well in the Roman Catholic Church, and perhaps to be venerated. A heart from a pope who is dead for the last 800 years or more? I'm sorry, this is not Christian. The Baroque-style church of Saints Vincent and Anastasius at Trevi in Rome. It's right by the fountain, if you've ever been there. That's where all the movies, and that's usually where the couple gets together, by the Trevi fountain. Embalmed hearts of 22 popes, starting with Pope Sixtus V from 1583. I'm sorry, I exaggerated. The heart's only 500 years dead, not 800. My bad. To Pope Leo XIII from 1903, the tradition started in the 14th century when it was established that the body of a deceased pope would be mourned for 9 days. Well, you know the symbolism of the number nine, whatever. With suffrage masses being said each day, the practice, here it comes, was borrowed from the mourning ceremonies of Byzantine emperors. Because the pope was esteemed to be a political leader. He was a world force. The pope had armies. So how do you mourn the death of your emperor? Well, how do they do it? How do the pagans do it? We'll ape that. Because of the long interval between death and burial, a form of embalming was needed. The inner organs of the body were removed to prevent deterioration and then distributed as relics. A human heart being passed around as a relic. What is a relic? It's a touchstone. It is a way for you to visually see something that is somehow connected, well, maybe to Mary, maybe to a saint, maybe to Jesus. But it's intended also for you to venerate it so that your sins could be forgiven. The churches of St. Vincent and Anastasius at Trevi were chosen as the destination for these hearts, where they are still there today, not beating. That's just so pagan. And just really, you want to talk about like not even being in the modern era? I mean, seriously? 10 surprising facts about papal conclaves. Not all of them were noteworthy, but some of these were kind of interesting. The longest election of a pope took place in 1268, when the death of Pope Clement the IV led to a conclave of 1,006 days. 3 years of pope news, please! Let the white smoke fly. Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with the white smoke business, black smoke, I didn't know. I mean, I knew that they did the white smoke when they elected a pope, but I didn't know what was burning. From this article at Time, after every round of votes, all ballots submitted by cardinals are burned. So much for record keeping. If a majority has been achieved and a new pope elected, white smoke will rise from the chimney. If the majority is not met, then the ballot papers will be added to a mixture of potassium percolate. It's a chemical, anthracene, and sulfur to create the black smoke. So they're burning the ballots. A different recipe of potassium chlorate, lactose, and chloroform resin will be added to the papers and burned to create white smoke if a pope has been elected. You know where that is in the Bible, don't you? Going back now to 1268, 1,006 days is what it took. They were locked away. In an attempt to influence cardinals and establish communication between the conclave and the outside world, messages have previously been hidden in food coming into the Sistine Chapel during the voting process. So, foods that could conceal messages, such as pies and chickens, as well as cutlery and glasses, have been prohibited. Whew. Following tradition for the upcoming conclave, nuns will prepare local food such as lamb skewers, spaghetti, and boiled vegetables for cardinals. Let's hope they don't sneak in any notes into the conclave where this system goes on that is simply not biblical and is a part of something that is, in so many aspects, foreign to Christianity, downright pagan. Papal parts? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Harvard professors are so terrified of basic standards that they're pledging $2 million of their own salaries to resist the Trump administration's demands for anti-Semitism audits and plagiarism reviews. Over 80 faculty members are donating 10% of their pay to fight requirements that most Americans would consider common sense. One sociology professor even called the accountability measures Stalinist. Apparently, in academia, expecting universities to address anti-Semitism and academic dishonesty is now equivalent to Soviet totalitarianism. Yeah, and speaking of academic overreach, a 13-year-old Missouri boy was suspended for creating art with Dr. Pepper cans in the shape of an AK-47. At home, not on school grounds, but at home. The school district in Mountain View Birch Tree called this cyberbullying after the student posted his soda can creation on Snapchat. Fortunately, the Goldwater Institute is providing legal representation to sue the school for violating the boy's First Amendment rights. Goodness, when we have schools suspending students for Dr. Pepper art at home, while Harvard professors compare anti-Semitism investigations to Stalin, and we've truly entered into an alternate educational universe. Florida's Heartbeat Act has marked its one-year anniversary with remarkable results. Over 12,000 babies have been saved from abortion during its first year of enforcement. Governor Ron DeSantis' leadership helped defeat Amendment 4 last November, which would have enshrined abortion in the state constitution. Recent birth data confirms the law is saving approximately 400 lives every month. Meanwhile, in the state of Arkansas, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed legislation directing $2 million to pregnancy centers and adoption agencies that support women in choosing life. These grants will help organizations provide material, social, and emotional support to mothers, proving that pro-life states understand the importance of walking alongside women in difficult circumstances. The state of North Dakota has strengthened protections for female students, with their governor, Kelly Armstrong, signing legislation that prohibits multi-stall gender-neutral bathrooms in schools. The law also empowers parents to file complaints for violations and authorizes civil penalties up to $2,500. And the contrast with Hollywood couldn't be clearer, as Disney's Star Wars series Andor features a homosexual kiss scene. Showrunner Troy Gilroy dismissively said, "We treat it like a regular thing." Further confirmation that Disney's retreat from woke programming was a story that was greatly exaggerated. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Malachi was the last recorded prophet of God until John the Baptist 400 years later. Malachi addressed the corrupt priesthood, half-hearted worship, divorce, injustice, and neglected tithes. He also foretold the coming of John the Baptist, Jesus the Messiah, and the great day of the Lord when God judges the wicked and rewards the righteous. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't do it, Presbyterian Church America. Don't do it. This is Wretched Radio. There was a controversy that was simmering a number of years ago that has resurfaced, at least courtesy of an article written in the Christian Post by a fellow who is willing to admit that he had homosexual proclivities. Well, now he happens to be a pastor. He's been married for 19 years. has two children. He also leads a number of ministries, including Made Free Ministries, Agape First Ministries. What are these ministries focused on? Men and women who have desires that they know the Bible does not endorse and identifies as sinful. They don't want them. How can we help them grow into sanctification where those desires abate, where they are mortified, not cultivated? Well, a number of years ago, his concern that he addresses was something called Side B Christianity. What is Side A Christianity? Side A Christianity is, hey, you can be gay and you can live any way that you want to and still be a Christian. Well, Side B Christianity said, you can have those proclivities, that's fine, you just can't act on them. And they made ruffles because the Side B conference happened inside of a Presbyterian church, America. Please note, there's a big difference between the Presbyterian church denominations, just like there are in every Protestant denomination, just like there are in everything, including Roman Catholicism. Don't be deceived. I know Roman Catholics love to say, you Protestants have 842 million denominations. First of all, no, we don't. Second of all, there are certainly strands inside of the Roman Catholic Church, which is why I think these conclaves for electing a new pope go on and on. If everybody were so one-minded, why does it sometimes take days, weeks, even some instances, years to nominate a new pope? It's because there's political concerns, there's regional concerns, there's theological differences. Are we going to be progressive? Are we going to be conservative? And I think the conclave does nothing but expose the fallacy of the proclamation that Roman Catholics make, that it is just Protestants that have divisions. Well, we do. I've always seen these as accommodations where God says, okay, you guys just can't quite get on the same page with everything. And in order to function with any semblance of normality or with any semblance of just being able to get along and get things done, go ahead, have your different denominations. It's sort of a concession like divorce. The Presbyterian Church USA is different than the Presbyterian Church America. Speaking of the Presbyterian Church USA, guess what they just decided to do? Shut down their missionary agencies. They aren't going to preach the gospel anymore, which probably has been lost for a long time anyway. Do you recall there's a Presbyterian Church pastor, this should tell you everything, named Rebecca Peters, who said, God lied to humanity. Well, that's blasphemy right there, but that's coming out of the pulpit of a Presbyterian Church USA. Well, now they're shutting down their missionary branch, and they do it with a language I just do not speak. I get it. Language changes. It really does. The words take on different meanings. New expressions get introduced. I think because of social media, the speed of communication, I think that's happening more. But just the whole phrasing that this particular Reverend, it's Reverend O, O-H. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the first name. J-I-H-Y-U-N, a stated clerk of the General Assembly. This is the explanation. See if you can translate this. While they considered understandings of missions as sending or missionaries, ultimately they chose to translate the phrase as the work God does. Well, that's not what the word means. Missio, to send. That's what a missionary is. Because Jesus sent the disciples a couple of times. The Great Commission, while going, make disciples. We see commissioned ministers, Apostle Paul, being sent in the book of Acts. That's what the word means. But now they're just calling it the work God does. So they have missionaries. They just don't do mission work. Another instance of using the same word with a different definition. Watch for this. This is why a lot of times you can come to loggerheads with somebody who's of a different persuasion theologically than you. Yeah, we're using the same words, but I don't think that word means what you think it means. And this is another case of that. So they've redefined missionary instead of to be sent or a sent one, the work God does. And then she explained how that idea extends beyond just sharing the good news of Jesus, to the whole work of God in the world, and how we're able to engage in that work only through partnership. Quote, partnership is theologically and biblically based on the fundamental belief that God's love for the world is greater than any one church can possibly comprehend or realize. Do you smell universalism? You certainly should. Why? Because they will partner with anybody outside of Christianity, because God is doing a work there. Different name, same God, and we can partner with them. That's the Presbyterian Church USA. And by the way, if you want to read a treatise, very brief treatise, on the issue of ecumenism, please check out John's writing. Second John, he's very clear about this. We've got to watch the partnership business. Just saw that at the National Prayer Breakfast. I think that's what it was, a prayer event at the White House. They had an imam praying. They had Paula White praying. They had a Jewish rabbi praying. It was so ecumenical. It was just this conglomeration of, without any distinctions being made. Nobody said, hey, look, I'm here because, just want to let you know, biblical Christianity is totally different than all of these other religions being represented here. We believe, spell it out, versus what they believe. Having said that, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let's pray. That's not what happened. Instead, it was an ecumenical affair, and we need to be mindful of the message that we send when we partner with other religions. Apparently, the Presbyterian Church USA has not been reading 2 John, but let's return to the Presbyterian Church America. Tim Keller described Side B thusly. By the way, this is from Christian Post. Now, the author of the article is Darren, I hope I say it right, M-E-H-L. Male? Mel. Sorry. War Road, Minnesota. Been there, the War Road, Minnesota. He quotes Tim Keller, who described Side B Christianity thusly. People attracted to the same sex, though remaining celibate in obedience to the Bible, still can be themselves called gay Christians and see their attraction as part of their identity, which should be acknowledged like one's race or nationality. The problem is melanin levels and the nation from which your ancestors came. The Bible doesn't identify as a sin, but any sort of sexual activity outside of one man, one woman in a lifelong covenanted relationship is. Therefore, the adjective gay Christian does not fit. This, it's not a part of your identity. No sin is. If you want to use an adjective to define your Christianity, try born again. Try Bible believing Christian. Oh, okay, but it's not necessary because it's baked into the word. Jimmy? All right, by the way, are you still identifying as a child-beating Christian?
Child? No, I don't act on that.
Okay, but so you are a child-beating. So let's celebrate that you're a child-beating Christian, okay. But you just don't act on it.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be Side B Christianity. Don't let this infect the Presbyterian Church America. I'm hoping that they have put this to death. But this fellow who's writing from War Road, Minnesota, he's saying that he's seeing it a lot, at least in the state of Minnesota. Back to his article, Scripture teaches that we are created male and female. Our identity is not in our temptations or struggles. You're a Christ one. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, Rexella. That's who you are. Period. Side B, gay Christianity redefines the self according to desires and feelings, and then baptizes those desires in religious sexual orientation language. Sin is crooked. I don't care what sin it is. Lying is crooked. Thieving is crooked. And so are sexual sins crooked. And God doesn't want you to remain crooked. He wants to straighten you out. And he doesn't want you identifying with crooked and being comfortable with crooked. And doesn't this speak lowly of the sanctifying power of our God and the power of the Holy Spirit to effect change? Just like it did for the author of this article. He's been married for 19 years, has 2 kids. And he's writing about this threat that he's seeing at least in Minnesota churches. Side B Christianity appeals often masquerade as empathy, but amount to emotional manipulation rooted in sentimentalism rather than biblically rooted compassion. Here's how it gets done. They do an empty chair presentation. A speaker shares the lived experience. That's really lame form of rhetoric, but nevertheless, here's a lived experience of an LGBT identifying person while pointing to an empty chair, representing the absence of such individuals in the church. Don't you want that person in the church? Then be a side B Christian. And all they end up doing is mangling the Bible, defaming God, and harming people. That's side B Christianity. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glock, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this: 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, well, if we're going to be honest, and we're Christians, so we're going to be, a bunch of stories that are important but really aren't enough to fill an entire segment. So what do? You slap them together, and to make a theme, you play a dated theme song from Wide World of Sports, and you call it Wide World of Christian News. was early. I blew that one.
I would have went with it.
This is right. Okay. Jimmy, you're going to appreciate that. Nobody else is going to appreciate this, but you'll appreciate this. I was told at Alpharetta Bible Church. So we play one song. And actually, there's three different verses, but we play one of the verses each week because I think that this isn't mandated in the Bible, but having I'll just use the word like a touchstone. It's like we sing that song every week. I think it's helpful for us because it's a reminder and it just, it's like, okay, there are things here that are constant and consistent. I think I've shared this before, but the Roman Catholic Church has found value in that. They've discovered that when they just keep doing the same thing over and over again, people might leave, but they come back. Why? Because of the familiarity. Well, we don't want to follow that pattern, but I think the concept is somewhat valid. If we're constantly changing everything in church, we never do anything the same. It's always different. It just feels kind of like you're floating out there. So we have one song that is kind of serves as that repeated and constant element. Speak, O Lord, is the name of it. I think it's a Getty tune. It's really excellent. And so they sing that one of the verses, and then I step into the podium, and I've been informed, please wait for the last note of the piano to stop.
Stepping on the music.
Well, because that's what you do.
That's exactly.
That's what you do in radio anyway. You don't wait for it to stop and then go, oh, I'm on. you just bang. As soon as they stop singing, you jump in. That's what you do. But apparently not at Alpharetta Bible Church because I've been told, knock it off. You're making things hard. Let's go span the globe, shall we? This is from the earth. Florida specifically. Carpenter Ants, you say, what does this have to do with Christian radio? Here's the headline from earth.com. Ants are the only animals besides humans. Wait a second. I'm sorry. The only animals besides humans? We're not animals. We're humans. We're ensouled. We're better. Sorry. We're the cream of God's creative crop, not ants. Ants are the only animals besides humans. All right. I'm going to let you guess. Jimmy, I'm going to let you finish the headline. Ants are the only animals besides humans that perform blank.
Work.
You got to be more specific. What kind of work?
Laborious work.
Okay. That's the same word. Labor and work are the same thing. Put your thesaurus down. Surgery.
Really?
Yeah. They perform surgery, those ants, just like human beings. Yep, this is from the Science Journal, Current Biology. It highlights how Florida carpenter ants, and then I just love this. They throw in the Latin name to make it sound like, see, we're scientists. By the way, we're going to be putting up a video, I think, on Friday. Jason Lyle did a webinar for Fortis Institute on climate change, shared some of that last week. The entire thing is up at Fortis Institute, or you can go see on the YouTube machine this Friday. We're just going to kind of chop that up a little bit, and you will see that the science is not on the side of climate change activists, with all due respect to Al Gore, who's been wrong about every prediction that he's ever made about the future. Campanatus. Floridanus. Got the word Florida. I didn't know Florida was a Latin name. So we turned it into a Latin name so it makes it sound scientific. They handle severe wounds among their nest mates. This is from the University of Würzburg. So I guess we're in Florida and Germany. When we're talking about amputation behavior, this is from the author of this scientific study. When we're talking about amputation behavior? This is literally the only case in which a sophisticated and systematic amputation of an individual by another member of its species occurs in the animal kingdom. So let me get this straight. You're comparing, I don't know, bypass surgery that is done in an operating room that is presumably sterile, with operating equipment, with lights, with machinery. You're saying That's just like the ants when they tear a limb off of another ant. This is just another effort to try to bring people to elevate animals, bring people down, the descent of man, so that we're nothing but what evolution teaches us. We're just a bunch of monkeys. We're just animals. In 2023, a different ant species, Megapanera analis, was shown to rely on a special gland to release antimicrobial compounds during treatment. We're calling it treatment. Apparently, there's an ant in the colony who's got a gimpy wing, and they rip it off of him, but they've also got something in their mouth that can help aid treatment. Treatment. That's considered treatment. This is so desperate. Observations reveal that the ants rely on a systematic evaluation of each wound. Can you show me that paperwork? Do they do that evaluation on a computer, or are they still writing it on paper? Suggesting they can detect when amputation is more likely to offer a better outcome than cleaning alone. Oh, is that what they're doing when they scramble around? In the study, femur injuries were consistently handled with initial cleaning before the leg was removed, whereas tibia injuries received only cleaning. Oh, I see how you did that. There were some injuries. How many of these injuries did we study? Femur injuries, where they almost completely amputated the leg, had a success rate around 90%. And for the tibia, where they didn't amputate, it still achieved a survival rate of about 75%. So let's just take human language. Just lay it over ants. How sad is this? Here's the one last quote. The only medical system that can rival what the ants do would be the human one. Wait a second. So we're rivaling it? It's better than what we do in an operating room? These labels that teaching kids that they're animals, that ants are on the same level of sophistication as human beings when it comes to science and medicine, is it any wonder this generation is so lost and so confused and so detached from all things? Because this is why I'm so excited about this, y'all. This is really so exciting. I think that this is going to become something that is big here at Fortis Institute. We're going to campuses and we want to talk to these kids who have been told they're monkeys or ants, or that they are nothing but a DSM moniker, that they are a label of they're depressed, they're anxiety disorder, they've got ADHD. We want to talk to them. And so we're going to campuses this fall. So far, we've got two scheduled. Kennesaw State, which is actually the largest university in the state of Georgia, and Oklahoma University. That is going to be a riot. And what they want us to talk about is deconstruction and why you shouldn't, and why this is a trend. We want to talk to these students. We don't want to mock and shame. So we're going to be going to have these conversations with them to bring them something hopeful. And as long as we're talking about Fortis Institute, did you know that right now we have a Truth Unhindered campaign? We want to close our store. We want to give everything away. So we're relying on you. We have a match campaign going on right now. If you give, it'll double. And we're going to close the store. Then all of the resources that we still sell, believe me, we give away 90% of stuff. But the other stuff that are the really big resources that we create here with study guides, we want to just give it all away. Would you consider helping us do just that? And then we're going to get this stuff into churches around the globe. You can learn more about it at fortisinstitute.org/truth. fortisinstitute.org/truth. And speaking of labeling the kids, did you know in the DSM, which labels anybody with anything as having some sort of mental disorder, there is nothing in the DSM about people who watch a lot of pornography? That's not considered a malady. They haven't identified that as any sort of addiction. From the conversation, research shows it causes lasting harm to the brain in relationships. It's a 2018 study. 91.5% of men, 60.2% of women consume porn. I think that's a lie. And what they're discovering is it's goofing up their brain. And it does indeed lead them to go deeper and deeper into images that they never imagined that they would look at. Lo and behold, the DSM, happy to call you some sort of mental disorder, but not this one. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.